You're listening to West Southwest. I'm Arlene McMichael. Joining us is Lacey Lyons, Assistant Director at Griffin Place, a Kalamazoo agency offering services for those in conflict and in crisis. Welcome.
Thank you.
She's also the lead organizer of the agency's first suicide prevention walk that's taking place this Saturday. I was reading through some of the materials that your organization provides, and it says that 5 million people nationally have been directly affected by the issue of suicide.
That statistic in particular is referring to survivors of suicide, individuals who have experienced the loss of a loved one or a friend to suicide. That statistic, we suspect, is on the low end. They figure about 6 survivors for every suicide death. And as almost everybody knows, when somebody does die by suicide, that scope reaches much farther than 6 individuals. There are a lot of survivors nationwide, as there are locally, and this is an issue that affects people on a daily basis. Things come up in the news that draw attention to the very important topics of mental health and to suicide prevention. But what we also know is it impacts us on a local scale and on an individual scale every day.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, Michigan's statistics are actually very close to what is average for the country. We're neither high nor low when it comes to where Michigan falls statistically.
I was reading a statistic in an article earlier this month that was in the Chicago Tribune, and it said that suicide is the third leading cause of death for those between the ages of 10 and 24, and that's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And in a national survey, it said that 16% of high school students reported seriously considering suicide. Clearly, this is an issue that really needs some more public awareness. My understanding is this is the first time that you are holding the walk. Why this year?
This year, we really evaluated what kinds of fundraising events we hold, what makes sense for us, and what does the community need. And it makes a lot of sense for Griffin Place to get behind the cause and to get behind the issue of suicide prevention, because since 1970, we have been providing services, a number of different services that work to prevent suicide locally.
Can you talk about some of those services that you provide?
Yes, of course. We offer a number of different services at Griffin Place. A few that I would want to be sure to highlight. We, in our community and nationwide, we offer 211. 211 is a nationwide program. And in our area, we do take dial 211 calls. 211 is a program that offers information and referrals for local resources. So people that are looking for assistance with any number of human services needs can dial 211 to get connected to local resources. And 211 is also, I should say, a 24/7 available service. We also have our crisis line, and that number is 381-HELP, H-E-L-P. It's 269-381-4357. But 381 Help is what people in our area really recognize as our local crisis line. That is also a 24/7 service. Every day of the year, we have wonderful volunteers here taking calls from people who need emotional support, who need assistance sorting through their thoughts, who are feeling overwhelmed, hopeless. When we say crisis line, people do oftentimes think of callers who may be thinking of suicide themselves or calling on behalf of somebody else that they're concerned is suicidal. But truly, it's a line for people in any kind of crisis. And what's a crisis to me and what's a crisis to you is not necessarily the same as a crisis for my neighbor. So anything that is really putting a lot of stress on an individual is a good reason to call a crisis line.
Let's go back to the issue of the walk, which is suicide prevention. Let's talk on the prevention end. What might be some of the warning signs that people can look out for? Again, when I was looking through your literature, it was indicating that in most cases, though obviously not in all, that individuals are displaying warning signs.
Right. You know, another one of the programs that we offer and have for years at Griffin Place is the Gatekeeper Program. The Gatekeeper program is a suicide prevention educational curriculum that we offer in middle schools and high schools in our area. And speaking of suicide prevention and speaking of what do you look for, that's what we're teaching kids every year. And the skills that we are giving to youth through this program are really the very same skills that we would teach folks of any age. We want to make sure that what I always tell people is that if you're worried about someone, you're probably worried for a reason. And people are experts on their friends. And if you're worried, if you think you see signs of depression, if you have anything in your mind that causes you to be concerned, sometimes people hesitate to bring up mental health. And sometimes people hesitate to ask if somebody has been thinking of suicide. But it's very important to, if you wonder, don't wait. Ask the question. Engage them in conversation. In addition to reaching out and letting people know that you are there to listen to them, it's also very important to know what your resources are and to know where to find help. And you can locate resources on griffin.org, our website, and actually search our online tool for local resources. You can search keywords. You put in your zip code and keywords such as depression or mental health treatment or suicide prevention, and all of those local resources are going to come up. That, of course, is in addition to the options of calling 211 or 381-HELP.
If someone is listening right this second, there could be someone that they're interacting with right now that is going through this issue. What is it that they can do right at this second? Because one of the things that I was reading again in your materials, it talked about not leaving the person alone.
That's right. And again, I would say if you wonder, don't wait. If you're concerned, engage them. And if somebody is seeing warning signs, some of the top warning signs tend to be very obvious ones. If somebody is talking about death, dying, or suicide, or wishing that they were dead, or something along those lines, if somebody is looking for means, if somebody is talking about being a burden to others or not being able to go on or having no reason to live, those are those very obvious warning signs that would generally catch the public's attention, right? But sometimes things are a little more vague and a little more subtle, but they oftentimes will still make us wonder, I wonder what's going on with that person. And if we catch any of those things, and if a listener at this time has somebody that has popped into their head and wondered, I wonder if this person is okay, we would advise you to ask them, and we would advise you to call the helpline. Not leaving a person alone is particularly important if a person through conversation is explaining to you, yes, I have thought about suicide. If perhaps they do have a plan, we absolutely want to support them and bring in individuals who can help to keep them safe. And sometimes that does necessitate a call to 381-HELP to figure out, how do we do that? How do we keep this person safe? One of the things that we teach youth through the Gatekeeper program is that this is not a problem that we can fix on our own. We, meaning I as a person in crisis, or we, meaning I support my friends or family that might be in crisis. We need to reach outside of ourselves to get the resources and the help needed to not only get us through the moment, but to get us through the moments in the future and get us back to feeling better.
There was a point you said earlier. Did you recommend calling 211 or calling the crisis line if someone encountered someone that they thought was suicidal?
In an emergency situation, if there is imminent danger, we would, of course, recommend that somebody dials 911 to get immediate assistance.
Mm-hmm.
But in the event that you have a person in crisis, depressed, maybe considering suicide, we would recommend you call 381-HELP.
And just so that we give a sense of who they might be talking to on the other end, what kind of training, who is it that they're talking to on the other end?
We have both paid staff as well as a wonderful group of volunteers who are very specialized and well-trained in taking these crisis calls. Our crisis workers in our contact center are required to go through extensive training in order to respond with compassion and respect, and in order to help people sort through what it is that they're experiencing.
What are some of the options beyond calling a crisis hotline? For example, you talk about depression and there's ways of managing these things. What are some of the options that people might consider?
One thing to really remember when we talk about depression and we talk about other mental illnesses is just like physical illnesses that come to mind for people right away. The analogy that we use with young people often is if you had a broken leg, would you try and fix that on your own? Or would you know you needed to see a professional in order to help that heal? Depression and other mental illnesses work the same way. They are physical conditions that we can't try and fix on our own because we need professionals to help that heal. So we really need to remind ourselves, each other, our neighbors, as a community, that reaching outside of ourselves for that kind of assistance is very critical. It's very important because these kinds of things are elevated to a level where we do need assistance with them, and that has to be okay. We have to start to work through some of the stigma associated with mental illness and with asking for help, because asking for help is really the best thing that we can do for ourselves and for our friends who are struggling.
And what would that help look like?
It depends on the person. That's one of the good things about calling 381 Help, is they can talk about options and they can talk about resources. So these are the numbers that you can call in your community. It may be a matter of a support group. It may be a matter of individualized treatment. It may be a matter of...
Meaning counseling. Counseling?
Yes, counseling.
Talk therapy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a matter of making an appointment with a primary care physician who can then refer on to specialists as needed to assess, is there a medication required in this case? Is this a case that could be kind of remedied or benefit simply from talk therapy? Because it could be one, it could be the other, it could be both.
Tell me a little bit about the walk. What's going to happen?
We have chosen Bronson Park as the location of our walk this year, and we're really excited about that. We're walking through, on our walk route, we're going to have the opportunity to walk through some of these really beautiful and interesting parts of our city that we all love so much. And that takes place this Saturday on September 13th. Registration, day of registration. People who have not registered so far will be able to register right up until the time that the walk begins. And day of registration does take place in Bronson Park starting at 8 a.m. The walk officially begins at 9 a.m. And we'll have lots of information available at info tables at the site of the walk. People will, for a registration fee, we do have a $25 registration fee to register for the walk, and that gets you your T-shirt and your wristband. Oh, additionally, people can register online. If you go to griffin.org and go to our events page, there is a register online here button that takes you to our online registration site where people can learn the details about the walk as well.
And obviously, people can give as much money as they would like to this fundraiser beyond just the $25.
Absolutely, yes. That registration fee is covering the cost of putting the walk on, ordering the T-shirts, reserving the site, the logistics. But all of the donations above and beyond that go directly to Griffin Place and supporting the services that we are providing to the community, not just 211 and 381 Help, but we also have dispute resolution services as part of our conflict services department that facilitate mediations for folks in the community that are experiencing conflicts. We also have school programs. I've spoken, a bit about one of them, the Gatekeeper program. That's our suicide prevention program. We also have peer mediation.
Could we talk a little bit about that Gatekeepers program? That did intrigue me. Do you have set schools that you go to, or do schools need to request the program?
Yes. Schools request the program. We do charge a fee for service that helps to cover the cost of programming. We also do have a grant that helps to support the cost of that program, and we, rely on donations as well.
Is it a multi-session program?
It is. We are actually a best practice designated program through AFSP and SPRC, which are mm-hmm. some of the national organizations for suicide prevention. And the Gatekeeper program is on that list. We follow best practice standards and so it would be 4 consecutive class periods in order for students to go through that entire program.
And did I hear you say that it's geared toward middle school and high school?
middle school and high school. That's correct. There's a middle school version of the program that is 3 lessons in length and a high school version that is 4 lessons in length.
And again, the focus is on suicide prevention, empowering kids to identify what that looks like and what to do about it?
Yeah. There's a couple things with young people, right? One of them is people in general, regardless of age, often don't know what warning signs of suicide are. We don't know what that problem looks like. And that's not our fault. It's not something that we talk about very frequently, which is why an event like this, a program like this, these things are so important because we need to talk about them. So part of the focus of the program is to really raise awareness. This is what this problem looks like. This is what you might see. These are the warning signs. But the other piece is, what do you do then? How do you talk to a friend that you're worried about? What words can you use? And once you talk to them, what do you do then? How do you find resources? And one thing that we really want to make sure that kids know is that you can't keep that to yourself. It's real important to ask for help with that situation.
How long have you been offering that program?
That program has been around for more than 20 years.
Really?
It actually originated at Griffin Place.
Well, as we close right now, is there any final thoughts that you would like to share with us?
I do want people to know that another program that Griffin Place offers is the Survivors of Suicide Support Group. And it is the only support group of its kind in the Kalamazoo area. There are others. I think there's one in Grand Rapids, and I'm not sure where the next closest one is. But we offer that for folks who have lost somebody to suicide. And we want to make sure, especially with the walk this week, that people know that that service is available. It's actually nationally Suicide Prevention Week this week, which is how we ended up choosing this particular Saturday for our suicide prevention walk for that event, because we wanted to get involved in this national movement to draw attention to suicide prevention and build awareness and education locally here.
Ms. Lyons, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.